Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, the weekly mortgage market update, providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Good to be with you, everybody. It is March 31st, 2014. Good to have you joining us. We're excited about this broadcast. We have many, many wonderful guests on this broadcast, and we're so fortunate to have so many good guests. But this week, today, we have the final four. It's like the March Madness. Well, we're ending up the quarter. We're ending up the month by having the Fabulous Four. Well, at least I'm in the mix, so maybe it's Fabulous 3 plus 1. But anyway, we're having a roundtable discussion with the regulars, Andy, Alice, Joe, and myself. We're going to talk about everything that's been going on in the first quarter, talk about the regulations. We're going to get into a lot of aspects of just kind of general housekeeping, sweeping up all the things that are just haven't we been able to cover during the regular broadcast. But it's good to have you with us. We appreciate you tuning in. I want to thank our sponsors, United Guaranty, with over 50 years of service. Again, their QMI products is something you need to check out. Go to their website, www.ugcorp.com, or head to our website, lickinonlending.com. Up in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see their ad, and you click on it, it'll take you right to that same spot. Appreciate them for all the service they bring to us. Get a hold of your local representative. Also, a new partnership that we're enjoying and really valuing, just like we do with you. We don't imply that we value one more than the other. We value all of our partnerships and our sponsors. Another one that we value is the Velma folks. Velma stands for Virtual Electronic Marketing Assistant. If you are looking for a marketing solution, and most of you should be, if you're not, that would differentiate your company. Check out Velma at Velma.com, V-E-L-M-A.com. It's the easiest, most powerful marketing tool I've seen. It's one that we like so much that we're using it. So it's not one of those things where, okay, I'll use it if I have to. It is, I'm telling you, I'm embracing it. It's a powerful tool, and the technology that supports it is unusual. If you didn't listen to the broadcast a few weeks ago when we had Brent Embler on the broadcast, explained why it's so effective, very good stuff. We appreciate you both as sponsors, and thank you to UG and Velma. Joe Farr, let's get into what's going on in the markets. I'm excited to get to the roundtable topic, but we really got to kind of cover some stuff. And then Janet Yellen has been, there's been some Yellen talk.
Yeah, I was going to say this morning has been a little volatile with the market absorbing what Janet Yellen said in a speech this morning. And what she seemed to be doing, I think, was trying to reverse the perception that was created by her six-month comment during her press conference.
She, I was wondering if that's what was behind it. I was wondering.
Yeah, she was emphasizing all the reasons the job market needs improving. And, everyone knows it needs improving, but the message she was given was that we're going to keep the stimulus, the Fed funds rate, low until we get to the point where the job market is improving significantly. And you know, the market perceived that as being good for short-end rates, which is good for the stock market. The stock market's up about 125 points. But it didn't have a huge impact on mortgage-backed security prices, the long end. You'll remember that during the press conference, the reaction after the press conference was to flatten the yield curve, and what we're seeing here is a little bit of a steepening of the yield curve with the long end going up a little bit and the short end going down a little bit. But, so she's making news again, and we'll have to get used
to that.
I'm
chuckling about that because, you know, that it's interesting that she's finding it necessary to go back. When she was talking about the unemployment, did she get any reference to time frames or how long? It's not just hitting a trigger of a particular unemployment number, but is there a component of it has to stay there for some period of time before they're going to supporting the markets?
I didn't hear that in what she was saying. She just listed a lot of examples of what needs to be improved, going all the way to the point where she's saying no one's voluntarily leaving their job. You know, that's an indication of strength in the marketplace and the confidence to know that if you leave one job, you're going to get a better job. And so it's those sort of subjective sort of measures or perceptions in the market that she seemed to be bringing out as what they'll be looking at. And so, you know, in the press conference, she removed the 6.5% as a very objective measure and introduced subjective measures, but then added the 6-month comment, which I think she's just going back to even more subjective.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll talk more about that in the Hot Topics segment because I've got a lot of questions for you, Joe.
All right.
I'm armed for the hot topic. So let's go over last week.
You know, last week was really pretty quiet. In fact, I was just looking at the 10-day chart, and the price right now is where it was when we ended the day last Monday. So very little net movement. Well, no net movement. We had some nice improvement in prices in the middle of the week based on European information. The perception grew that the ECB was going to provide more stimulus to their markets because of low inflation. This morning, in fact, the European inflation index came in at half a percent and falling. That's the lowest it's been in years. And so the concern in Europe right now is that inflation's too low and it's falling. So the ECB meeting that's going to come out on Wednesday this week is going to be a very important potentially market-moving event, not as important as a jobs report, obviously, but it's still going to be an important event for world economy.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, last we got a good look at U.S. inflation last week. Both the CPI mm-hmm. came out and the PCE came out, and the core measures are both very very low, very tame numbers, fairly steady. Whereas European numbers are falling, U.S. numbers have been holding fairly steady, well below the target, which gives Yellen and the Fed more room to stimulate for job creation. And that too came out in her speech this morning. The economic data that came out last month was no big surprises, a little mixed in it. Consumer mm-hmm. confidence surprise was probably the biggest surprise. It far exceeded expectations, highest level since 2008,
yeah.
Which is kind of understandable. So that was a nice surprise. But then consumer sentiment later in the week just barely matched expectations. Jobless claims fell a little bit. Durable orders headline number was very good, but when you strip out transportation, the rest of it was not very good. And then strong demand for the auctions during the week. So all that added up to a little volatility during the middle of the week, but all in all, there was very little net change in mortgage rates last week.
Well, I want to ask you in the Hot Topics segment why there was such strong demand for the Treasury. I got some theory on that. I want to talk about that during that, so if you can get some thoughts on that. It's nice to see the yield curve returning to something that's a little bit more normal.
Right.
And that just continued on. This week we've got, I'm looking at your website, ISM, got some good information, fairly active calendar. Is there anything that just stands out? Looks like tomorrow's ISM,
well, there are
you've
three
got
things.
That started.
Yeah.
Oh, well, three things.
The ISM comes out tomorrow, and it'll be a good indication. This is a national measure as opposed to this morning's being the regional measure. The ECB announcement ought to come out Thursday morning early, probably before we get to work.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And that, by the way, is just a ballpark. You know, it's not on a fixed release a number schedule like it is here. And then the jobs report on Friday, always the biggest report of the month. And expecting 200,000 net new jobs, which is, good growth from prior few months, but it'll be interesting to see if there's much of a positive weather effect where there had been negative weather effects in the previous 2 months. And given Yellen's comments, a weak number here is likely to be maybe a good thing, given its impact on the Fed for both stocks and bonds, I should say.
Yeah. Could be an interesting week. It could be interesting week. I'm looking so forward to the Hot Topic segment because I listened to some podcasts this weekend. I got at least we'll have a good discussion. I got a lot of questions. Not sure we'll answer them all, but it'd be great to have it. But appreciate the insights you bring us each and every day, or each and every week, a Monday in the broadcast, and then what you publish, Joe, out there. So very, very, very good website. I have it up now all the time. I'm addicted to MBS Quote Line. It is the first thing I open up and the last thing I shut down as we end the day here. So it's a very, very powerful tool. Folks, if you don't have MBS Quote Line, you need to get it. And so stay tuned for this message. And we got Paul Mallow coming up right after the break. So be back right after this quick word.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS QuoteLine delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect and know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS QuoteLine, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS QuoteLine today at MBSQuoteLine.com.
MBSQuoteLine.com.
646-716-4972. The Lickin' on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
Good to have you with us as I turn on Paul Mallow's microphone here. Hopefully we'll get that there. We got him turned on. I'm looking over at his website. Brandon Levy wrote a great article here. And when I first read this article, my eyes did this famous dyslexic thing. It said little support. I put life support for reducing GSE loan limits. So little support. So what's behind all this? Good to have you with us, Paul.
Hello, David. What is going on? Well, you know, it's funny. Everyone talks about, we need to reduce the government footprint in mortgages. You know, that's what we need to do. But if you look at the comment letters on lowering the GSE loan limits, which is what Brandon Ivey of our staff did, the only one who really wants it is the jumbo guys.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's saying, no, not, you know, we mean let's get the government out of the mortgage business or reduce the footprint, but we don't mean now. You know, it's almost comical. You know, with all this lip service about, the Johnson-Crapo bill is wonderful and everyone else's bill is wonderful and it's a great start and blah, 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 blah. You know, it's crazy. Jumbo guys,
yeah.
You know, they're ready to, you know, they're trying to securitize jumbo loans. The lower that ceiling goes, the lower the cap goes, the more, in theory, they can buy and securitize, right? Well, no one wants that loan limit to be lowered, really. And Brandon looked at the comment letters, the enterprising young reporter that he is, and, you know, that's what he came up with. And it's, you know, one of those stories, you know, it's confounding in a way, shall I say.
It is. Yeah. Well, it's a great article. I had a chance. I'm going to go back and read it more thoroughly, but it really does a good job of bringing out the issues. Some of the other issues on the website or some of the other articles that on that website, I like your article on mortgage due diligence. Thought that was interesting.
Yeah, Alan Hill. Alan Hill's been a name which everyone who's anyone in the mortgage industry knows the last, you know, 7-8 years. You know, interesting story, you know, made a lot of money in due diligence space. That business started going down a bit because, you know, the OCC reviews of foreclosures went down and Fannie and Freddie's worked through their book. And so the company gets sold, lo and behold, to Stewart Title late last year, but it wasn't a company franchise deal. It was an asset sale. And then they had this court case where Alan Hill was getting sued by one of its clients, the former thrift that is no longer in existence, Aurora. They win the case, and the judgment's $25 million. So Alan Hill is looking at a $25 million payment, the corporate Alan Hill, not the piece that got sold to Stewart. And lo and behold, Sue Allen throws the company into bankruptcy. Interesting case. Due diligence business is something you know, we've written about before. There's obviously a need for it, especially if jumbos keep growing, but jumbos aren't growing that much. So, you know, due diligence firms are, you know, struggling to find, more ways to make money. Some have downsized, some have partnered, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's an interesting case, that's for sure. We also crunched the HECM volume. For the year, HECMs were up a bit, but for the quarter, they're down. We had George Brooks writing about that, so that's on the website. It's interesting about the HECM numbers. If you look at the top 50 HECM lenders, I think, 45 of them are non-banks. The banks have totally punted on that business. They don't want the regulatory headaches. They don't want any of it. They're basically out, 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 and it's all a business dominated by non-banks. So that's interesting. We also have an update from Charles Wisniewski of our staff about the Johnson-Crapo bill. I mean, basically, everyone knows it's going nowhere, but, threw that in there. The other interesting thing, Graham Williams is running Mortgage Resolution Partners. That's the firm that was trying to make a business out of doing loan restructurings using eminent domain. He's officially left the company now. He's got a new operation. He hopes to raise capital for non-banks. So he's based, that whole thing about eminent domain and trying to break trust and, modify non-agency loans,
right.
That looks like that's just about over. But it obviously got a lot of press while it was still alive. We have a story about the EverBank GreenTree deal closing. There's another piece to that. Apparently GreenTree is looking to buy another $1.9 billion. Mountain View had some interesting things to say about the home equity secondary market business from last year. Not a whole lot of trades going on. There seems to be a real appetite growing for second lien. So that's all the news that fits, so to say, I guess. So anyway, that's about it.
Well, with the political season and climate, I mean, are you anticipating more of this Fannie Freddie talk, more focus on them? I mean, and is your thought and sense that it's just talk and not going to go anywhere?
Yeah, no one in their right mind thinks that. And, even if Johnson Crapo manages to pass the Senate, it's dead in the House. I mean, let's face it.
Wanting to hear that officially.
Yeah,
Everyone knows.
I'm surprised that the Compass Point research even gave it a 5% passage of chance of being enacted into law this year. Jeb Hensling over at the House Financial Services Committee, his bill is so far apart from what's been offered in the Senate. It's ridiculous. I mean, even if we get a new, presumably, of course, we'll have a new president in 2016, either way we look at it. But, I think to get a bill passed, you're going to have the Republicans or the Democrats control all three chambers. And I don't know if that's going to happen in 16 or 18 or after. So.
Nope. Well, it's always good. I always take you as the official word. You're closest to it there. Folks, if you have not checked out and gone to www.imfnews.com, encourage you to do so. It has just got some great articles in there, great coverage of what's going on. Of course, Paul's celebrated within the industry as the mortgage banking reporter, and he's on the front line. He's got surrounded by a great group. Check out the website, and of course, if you're looking for some place to advertise, great place to advertise. I mean that. I know the results of what that could do for you. So, Paul, thank you so much. Appreciate you
tuning in.
Say hi to everyone there, and let's run over. It's good to have you, Paul. Let's run over to Alice Alvey, the darling of compliance, the one that just tries to tell us the sweetest voice possible, everything we really don't want to hear. So, Alice, what you got for us today?
Hey, Dave, the secret to talking to anybody over the phone is just smile, even if you're given bad news, right? Supposedly people can tell you're smiling on the other end of the phone, right?
Yep. Yep, that old
smiling.
Song. Yeah, yep.
So, that's what we're just going to keep doing. So I know as we get to the hot topic segment, I'm excited. Okay, how weird is that? I'm excited to talk about compliance management, but it is a hot topic today. And I think that companies are really struggling with not only QM implementation, but just this whole idea of what is a compliance management system. So in my segment right now, I guess I want to give you all a heads up on a few things that I thought were really important that Dave Stevens published. So, you know, Dave sends out his policy update email periodically, and he really did have three important topics. Paul just touched on the main one, obviously, that we don't think there's a lot out there in terms of housing finance reform. But there is definitely some buzz out there in terms of the 2015 budget request that FHA submitted to add an administrative support fee. And when you actually look at that budget document, it doesn't give us a whole lot of detail about that. You know, is it an upfront fee during the application stage at the time of insuring? You know, at some point we would be charged a fee that on a per loan basis in order to offset about $30 million from an appropriations request that FHA has. So we'll be watching that one very closely, because that's the last thing we need is any type of additional charges on a loan right now that's already triggering high-priced mortgage loans and, you know, putting us already in kind of a cautionary zone as far as qualified mortgages are concerned. Then secondly, I want to give you all an update of, we are also watching the proposed rule for FHA changing their prepayment penalty definition. You know, a lot of times I'm the big one to say, hey, get out there and comment, but this one is pretty straightforward unless those of you in servicing see any problems logistically with the announcement process, right? So it's about the announcements or notices to borrowers that would go out during the servicing process and request for payoffs. But for those of us on the front end, it would be loans effective as of a certain day, case numbers being ordered, then those loans, those borrowers would not have to pay interest through to the next installment date. The other part I like about the rule is they are going to change the wording in the rule to make sure it's very clear that for those other loans, you know, all the loans that are in place now that do have that provision to collect the 30 days interest, to very much codify that that will not be considered a prepayment penalty. So if you remember, FHA had till 2015 to fix this problem within the QM rule so that it, you know, would still be considered a qualified mortgage. So that verbiage is their method for fixing the older loans. And then for the newer loans, the borrowers just simply won't be charged that. So we won't refer to it as a prepayment penalty. So that was one thing. And then I was surprised that, you know, the Mortgage Bankers Association is going out with a letter to CFPB Cordray asking for support that there's a uniform test that would include even the banks. And I'm surprised that bankers aren't jumping up and down about that, that, you know, as everybody knows, lenders and brokers have to take that national exam, and that the MBA is taking the position that everybody should be consistent, kind of a way to show their support for the lenders. But I'm surprised the bankers aren't up in arms.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they necessarily want to go through all that. So none of that's law yet. We get asked that a lot. Do I have to have my loan originators trained and certified through a 20-hour course if I'm a bank? There is strong recommendation that they absolutely take a course, but we recommend a course like ours that is more suited for the bankers since they don't actually have to pass the exam. So it's not law, but certainly they're talking about pushing that a little bit further as it being, having it be mandatory. So that's my 2 cents for today. Dave, I'm looking forward to chatting with everybody in the next segment.
I am too. And by the way, back to the one on banks with the MBA, that is surprising, because is it that banks that are the ones that are biggest contributors to the MBA and making, helping keep that budget afloat? That's just interesting.
Maybe they're on board. You know, obviously the MBA would make sure they're publishing a position that meets with what their members want. You know, so I'm assuming that all that's been, you know, discussed.
Yeah. So then, we got to talk about that in the Hot Topics. There's a lot around that one. Interesting stuff. Well, it's so good to have you on, Alice, and appreciate your comments. Looking forward to the Hot Topics segment. Boy, if I'm loaded for questions with you. A lot of listeners have sent me questions, so we got a lot coming at you. We also got Tony Gutierrez and Garitano coming up right after the break. Good to have Tony back giving us an update on everything that happened at the tech conference. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals providing classroom and web-based delivery and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's David Lickin.
Good to have you back with us. I appreciate you tuning in from all over the country. I see the switchboard. Let's bring Tony Garitano on. Missed having him on the broadcast last week, and it's always fun to have an update. And Tony, you just came back from the tech conference. I guess it's now been a week or so ago. Would love to get an idea of what you saw there, but it's good to have you there. You guys are still getting snow. It cracks me up. We're at 80 degrees here today. So good to have you on the broadcast, Tony.
Yeah, we got snow this morning, Dave.
Oh, my gosh. That's unbelievable.
Never
and,
ends,
and my
you know.
Yeah, and we're at 76 degrees and going to probably be up near 80 again down here. So it's that transition time. Talk about transition, a lot going on, technology. What were the big technology stories at the NBA Tech Show this year?
I mean,
only a couple
of
weeks ago.
The big national stories were that people were still talking about the FHA electronic signing announcement that was made earlier in the year. And how that was going to play out and how they can be compliant. Right now, every document can be electronically signed aside from the note, and FHA has put out specifications for e-signing around the note, and that is supposed to start at the end of this year in December. But it's not mandated. It's just another option if you want to do things in an electronic fashion. The interesting news that did come out involving the FHA and automation that will ultimately be mandated is that FHA made an announcement at the show that the appraisals will have to be electronic. You know, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac made a similar announcement around that a few years back and around their UAD initiative, and they set up the portal through Veros. And what is going to happen is now FHA will have a similar mandate that the appraisals be electronic and delivered through an FHA portal electronically. There will ultimately be a mandate, but there is nothing set at this time. So it was just kind of a general announcement to the industry that, you know, our appraisals are going to be electronic as well, and you're going to have to get on board with electronic appraisal reporting and delivery at some point because, you know, at this point, both Fannie and Freddie and now FHA will require it. The main difference with FHA is that they're going to require the appraisers to electronically sign the report as well. So that's a difference between what Fannie and Freddie require. They just want the appraisal delivered electronically, but FHA will also require that the appraisers electronically sign it. They want to make sure that the appraiser is an FHA-approved appraiser, and they also want to track the performance of those FHA-approved appraisers over time. So if the appraiser electronically signs, you know, his or her report before it goes to FHA, and FHA finds that a good majority of loans done by that appraiser come in undervalue or overvalue or maybe they go into foreclosure, you know, they want to be able to kick that appraiser off their list over time.
Okay.
So that was the big national news.
That was the big national news. Well, it has the case to embrace lights out processing changed?
I think it has. I mean, there was a lot of smaller news announcements at the show from, you know, companies like Form Free and Roostify and some other newer companies that I've just been hearing about in the past few months. Some of them were new. And the announcements were around trailing documents and supporting documents, so things like electronic disclosures, things like pay stubs, things like bank statements, things like automating your income or your investments. So what's happening is a lot of these smaller vendors that are new to the space are coming up with ways to automate that process so that the borrowers don't have to fax those documents into the mortgage lender. That can all be done electronically, and they're integrating to various loan origination systems. So I think with the FHA announcement around electronic signing and the electronic appraisal, and the fact that you have these vendors that are looking to automate the borrower process, case, you know, for lights out processing is becoming a little bit more of a no-brainer, in my opinion.
Someone just texted me and they said, okay, I want to ask the dumb question in the room. What, I don't think it's dumb. For those that don't know, what, explain to everyone what lights out processing is. What do you mean by that? What's the industry saying?
Lights out processing is conceivably where the borrower can either apply online or the borrower can apply in front of their loan officer, and their loan officer can take that information electronically while they have the borrower on the phone or at the borrower's house. And what will happen is you'll be able to go through the entire mortgage process electronically without ever having to paper out. So from the lender's perspective, there will be no paper. From the borrower's perspective, there will be no paper. So you can start the process either on your own or with the assistance of a broker or a loan officer electronically. You can get your disclosures electronically. You can electronically sign them. You don't have to supply any supporting or trailing documentation.
Interesting.
You can. That will all be submitted electronically. And then conceivably, you know, 3 days before closing, they have to present the documents to you as part of the new CFPB rule that goes into effect in August next year. So what would happen is you would get a secure portal where you would be able to electronically sign the upfront disclosures. And then 3 days before the closing, you can sign into that portal and you can actually see the closing documents. And then you can electronically sign those too.
Well, yeah, we've got to get you on to just do a whole Hot Topic segment of some of the cool developments that are going on. That would substantially change the way we are going. I knew lights out processing, but I didn't realize it was that all inclusive. We got to have you back on that one, Tony. Just that one right alone is to really get into the implication. That has huge implications or ramifications throughout the whole industry. Really interesting, fascinating.
And
appreciate you tuning in.
They want to do it.
Yes. Yeah, we've used technology, but it really hasn't. In my opinion, technology, mortgage technology at this point, while it's enabled some process, it hasn't revolutionized any processes dramatically, and that's what you're talking about right here. This will be the beginning of the true revolution of our processes and reinventing entirely how we go about it. Talk about process reengineering to another level. Tony, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Excellent.
Thank you for having me, Dave.
It's always a pleasure. Go get your snow shovel out. We're getting our suntan lotion out, so you get your snow shovel out. Won't be much longer. We'll be sending the warm weather north, then we'll be begging for some of your cooler weather. It's good to have you with us, Tony. Have a great week. Profit Doctor, let's get – you bet. Talk to you soon. Profit Doctor, I know you're out in Albuquerque. Of course, Profit Doctor. Everyone knows Profit Doctor is synonymous with Andy Schell, and Andy Schell is synonymous with Profit Doctor. Now, you're out in Albuquerque, and the news, I mean, I saw as I was heading out to my office this morning, riots in Albuquerque. I go, dang it, wherever Andy shows up, the Profit Doctor shows up, there's riots. Was it all the mortgage bankers complaining about FASB and everything on the streets?
Well, it's funny you should mention that, Dave. You know, we're here working on client activity, and you and I were in a riot in San Francisco at the NBA in, what was it, 2010?
That's what I was thinking about. We attracted.
I know. They couldn't even get into the convention center there in San Francisco because of the riot. And it happened again yesterday. So they certainly got what they wanted. They wanted attention. They got attention. So, you know, success, although it was quite debilitating for traffic, because when you try to go somewhere and there's people filling the street and won't move, then, you know, you're kind of stuck.
Well, that's what
so
you
make
right
a decision,
the middle of.
You're sitting in your car, and this ties right back into what I'm going to talk about, Dave.
Because
you're sitting there
all
in traffic, and you can't get out. And so what do? Do you wait? Do you turn? Do you, you know, play bumper cars and try to get out? Do you find an alternative route? And I was thinking earlier today about that song with the Kenny Rogers about knowing when to hold them, when to fold them.
When to fold them,
Sometimes you got to walk away, and sometimes you got to run. Well, that's some of what mortgage lenders are facing today. They've got to decide if they're going to hold them, fold them, walk away, or run. You know, there's some exciting developments in the industry today. We're seeing flow servicing deals that are pushing the boundaries of multiples. So we're well over the 4 times a service fee multiple for flow servicing. We're hearing rumors of some folks even getting into the 5 multiple on servicing. You know, we're putting it on our books at, you know, 1, and we got a market value of pushing 5 for flow. And so it's a great time. We're seeing tremendous increases in value in servicing portfolios, while at the same time, we've got such tight margins. We've got companies that are dealing with a loss on cash flow from their mortgage lending operation, but are then receiving the value out of the servicing over time and are having to fund the difference through MSR funding facilities and other means. So they're seeing tremendous value in holding the servicing, while at the same time the production operation is breaking even or even losing money. So they've got that servicing operation to offset that. Margins are so tight, and hopefully they're going to improve and increase. They've got to. We've got so many costs to deal with. It's like, you know, everybody cuts their costs, and then the only ones that survive are those with the really deep pockets. So today, if you're a mortgage company and you're not retaining servicing and you're competing with companies that are retaining servicing, you're going to be hard-pressed to keep up. You're going to be running cash flow, negative cash flow in the production, and when's it going to get better? I mean, how long do you keep losing money on every loan? And so when I know, Dave, you were going to talk about in the Hot Topics side of it some of the pressure that mortgage company owners are feeling from production teams about that point. Do you lose money on a loan to keep the relationship going, to keep the factory running, even if you lose money every month? And so if you are on that path, what's your plan to recover? When is enough enough? When's the last time you're going to lose money on the loan?
I can't wait to get it. I got a question just begging to be asked for you, but I'm going to save it for the hot topic because it really comes to this, and I think a lot of people have questions about, you know, what size is going to survive, what is it, and we've talked about mandatory, and we have a wonderful relationship with our friends at Secondary Interactive, and talking about that mandatory versus, you know, non-mandatory, I mean, is that's like servicing, retaining, or not retaining. You almost have to, do you not, Andy?
Absolutely. Today, if you're going to survive today, you have to be doing mandatories. You have to be hedging. You have to have a hedge advisor. You have to be doing it right. You have to be squeezing every basis point out of every loan. You've got to be hyper-efficient. You've got to have low costs. You've got to have the best delivery alternatives. You've got to watch your cash flows. You really need to be retaining servicing and having a cash flow offset for the cost of origination until the servicing collections start happening. But there's a lot of dynamics here, and the bigger guys can do exactly what we're talking about. Smaller guys are having problems doing those things. If you're not hedging, if you're not retaining servicing, and you're trying to deal with all the compliance issues, it's time to start thinking about that song. When do you hold them? When do you fold them? When do you walk away? And
great
when do you
song.
Run?
I've got to start having your songs teed up here when we get ready to your segment because you always speak so many metaphors. So I can't wait to get into the Hot Topic segment. Let's get there right now. Thank you so much, Andy, for being a part of the broadcast on a regular basis. And I've got some questions, so Fasten your seatbelt. We're going to be coming back to you here right after the break. Folks, we're going to be right back after this brief break. I want to start off by the quick. We have a partnership with Sam Garcia at Mortgage Daily. Very excited about what's going on there. Let's have a quick word from him. And we're hoping to get Sam live. Several people said enjoy his commentary. I'd love to hear him live. So we're hoping to get that accomplished here in the weeks ahead. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break, as starting off with Sam Garcia.
Hi, David, and thanks for including the Mortgage Daily segment in your show. The full stories for this past week's headlines are online at www.mortgagedaily.com. Freddie Mac said that its purchases and issuances were $17 billion in February, the lowest volume since at least February 2001, based on the oldest available data. The latest statistics on FHA indicate that the agency endorsed $12.8 billion in loans during January, 5% better than the previous month, but down by more than half from a year earlier. The good news is that FHA's 30-day delinquency rate, including bankruptcies and foreclosures, tumbled 64 basis points from December. Although independent mortgage bankers have seen originations tumble by more than a quarter over the past year, staffing was up by more than a fifth, contributing to a 92% decline in net production income during the same period. Carrington Mortgage Services said it will eliminate conventional and jumbo loans from its wholesale product line and instead focus on borrowers with credit scores that are less than 640. In mortgage services, net servicing income climbed to 21 basis points in the fourth quarter of last year from 11 basis points in the third quarter and 5 basis points a year earlier. 30-day delinquency, including loans in the foreclosure process, dropped 43 basis points between January and February for all loans. Fannie Mae awarded its first ever 5-star designation to Fifth Third Bank for 2013. The 5-star designation is the highest level of scorecard achievement in a peer group. The Comptroller of the Currency reported that servicing portfolios at banks at regulates fell to $4.2 trillion in 2013 from $4.9 trillion in 2012. The banks must be unloading the right loans because the rate of non-current loans improved 240 basis points during the same period. A servicing notice issued Friday by Fannie Mae indicated that the secondary lender will begin assessing servicers between $250 and $10,000 for submitting reports late. The assessments will begin in May. This has been Sam Garcia for Mortgage Daily in Dallas. You can read all of last week's mortgage industry news at www.mortgagedaily.com.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Good to have you with us. I've just got some emails in. So a lot of questions for our listeners. Les Parker's listening in, one of our dear friends over at Loan Logics. And I always give him a free plug every time he's in. We're looking to have Les back, talk about the markets here in the future. Got to get him back on. Always interesting to have him on. Let's get our regulars back on. We got Alice, Joe, and Andy on. We always start with Joe. But let's go through that various segment and the various ways. Joe, good to have you here with us on the Hot Topic segment. I want to ask about last week's strong auctions. That really kind of – we had some mixed – but overall kind of good economic news last week. But I listened to – I looked at some of the stuff that was there, and I saw how strong the auction was, and that's what really seemed to keep a downward pressure on mortgage rates. Why was it so strong? Is it because of things going on, Ukraine, concerns over Russia, and dollar is the safe haven? It's almost like a gold standard. Is that it?
It's a combination of all the above, I believe. There's still some concern, obviously, that things are going to escalate in the Ukraine, and certainly if it does, it's going to create a bigger rush toward the safe assets. I also think that there was some reaction to the shifting yield curves that occurred, and it made longer term treasuries, a little more attractive. That those weren't the 30, the 10 and the 30, but they were the 3, the 5, and the 7, I believe. And so I think it's a combination of all that. And then we also had quarter end going on last week.
Quarter
end,
yep.
That too may have been some part of it as people position their balance sheets for quarter end reporting.
I want to open it up to Alice and Andy to jump in for some questions. But you, what are you recommending we be paying attention to? What are the topics that you would say, hey, folks, listeners, I don't get a chance to cover this during my Hot Topic segment, so be paying attention to what? What do you think we should be looking at as we get into this start the second quarter?
There are two things that are going to have a significant influence, or have the chance to have a significant influence on mortgage rates, and one you can't do anything about. That's political, geopolitical issues, and whatever might come from what's going on with Russia and in the Ukraine. Not as though you can do anything about Fed policy, but you can anticipate a little better Fed policy than you can Putin's movement. So the Fed and its reaction to changing economics and most specifically after today's meeting, the jobs market, what impact will their actions have on mortgage-backed security prices and therefore mortgage rates, to the extent that they begin to signal a tightening? I think that's going to reverberate throughout each, up and down the yield curve, and we'll see things going higher again.
Yeah, no question. We're going to start seeing some interesting movements, but I want to, Andy, Alice, do you have any questions that you want to pose to Joe on behalf of our listeners? Andy?
I'm here.
Go ahead.
So it's always interesting to understand that there are elements that affect our business that are beyond our control, like rates. And so what's the best way to keep your customers abreast of changes? Because everybody wants to know, should I lock, should I not lock, when's a good time to lock? I mean, just what are the basic fundamental things about dealing with protecting customers in a volatile market when they're having to make a lock decision that could affect them for years to come?
Andy, it is very basic, as you said, and that is, if your customer's happy at the rate that you can offer them, get them locked. Now, selfishly, I'll promote that there are opportunities intraday without taking much risk to improve your customer's position, but we're talking about an eighth to a quarter, some days a little more in price. But there is historically a perception that, or the reality is that we're very low historically, and a customer that's happy today might not be happy on Wednesday or Thursday of that week if you wait long. So I'd say use the volatility and the historically low rates as a call to action to go ahead and get that taken care of, get the lock off the table. Don't expect to have an answer for them when they say, will it be better or worse in a week, because there's just no predicting that. And I'd say that's true in all markets, but it's certainly true in a market that's driven by the kinds of things that ours are being driven by. Not so much the fundamentals of inflation, since inflation's so low, it's not really being a factor on things. And it's all driven by a supply and demand shift. And as those supply and demand shifts change, your customer may or may not be happy. And so don't take the risk.
That's good advice, Joe. Don't think you can outsmart the market.
It's been true in all markets. Go ahead, Alice.
Well, I think folks trying to get into, margins are tight, and they get that next day regret, right? Oh, if I'd have just waited, I could have made a little bit more. And that's, that's like a gambling addiction, I guess, right? It's similar?
Well, it is, and that next day, there have been some good things and bad things passed in the legislation that we've seen lately, the Dodd-Frank, but one of the things that's taken off the table now is that each LO has to go through that process. it's not the LO's money to make or lose. It's certainly something that their customers can benefit from. And if you're in secondary and you're doing best efforts, maybe you can pick that up as well. But, you know, it's kind of a good thing, I think, that originators don't have to deal with that anxiety anymore.
I've been looking at the clock. I have a lot of questions for you, Joe. We'll see if there's time at the end, but let's run over to Alice. Alice, what are some of the things we need to be looking at and focusing on as we start this new quarter, second quarter?
Well, I think, Dave, the main thing I wanted to see if folks had questions about was this whole concept of compliance management systems. I've been speaking a lot about that at a couple of events, and it just gets a lot of eyes bugging out of people's heads because it took us a long time to get to kind of basic QC reporting where I'm actually having a management report, I respond, and I send that to the board, and I get that whole cycle going, and I think lenders have done a good job of meeting that level. But what we find now is the agencies and the regulators want you to absolutely get to root cause, right? That's the latest buzzword, is you're not saying, well, it's beyond just, well, we had a problem with our truth in lending disclosures and we conducted a training program and, oh, look, I hope our numbers are getting better, our defect rates are getting down. You know, they want an analysis of root cause, and I don't think at most shops you can point just simply to one thing. So many times there's a system or a process issue that's combined with, you know, individual skill sets. So that was kind of my two cents I thought I'd throw out there for discussion to see if, you know, as you folks go out, JV, I know you and Andy are in shops all the time. Do you see companies really paying attention to root cause defects, the root cause of the defect?
Yeah, I'd love to get to Andy's comment. I'll just give my quick. I was just out this last week at two shops, one doing a very good job. Well, they're both trying very hard to do a good job, but I think the concern is production's driving everything. There's been such a fall off on production for many, and it's at these kind of moments they suspend what I think is prudent business management for the sake of getting volume in. And what you're really communicating is we tell everybody we don't let the tail wag this dog. However, when volume drops off, I'll let anything wag me if I could just get production in the door. And I think certain business processes do fall off. And Andy, I think you're seeing that as well. Am I correct?
Yes, no question about it. You know, people are letting production drive the business. And I think Alice's point about having appropriate reporting and tracing the exceptions all the way down, that's exactly what it needs to happen. But people are so busy just trying to get the next deal closed that that doesn't seem to be as much a concern as it was 6 months ago. Today it's just keeping the volume going.
It seems like somewhat they put a good mask on it. Now, that's not true of the two companies I saw this last week, but there is a general sense that we're in a bit of a survival mode. We got to do whatever we can, and the branch managers are up and moving around. And Alice, what are you seeing as probably the one area that's being compromised the most right at the moment? Is it just general sense of letting go of certain management or compliance aspects
Love
of that, or
that.
They're flexing on it? How would you characterize it?
Well, I think in terms of compliance management defects, or I think it's just that companies.
Well, kind of all
time,
of
them.
The whole
implementation has been kind of the pain point that we were talking about on the phone a little bit ahead of time. You know that. So people are, I think the biggest issue is people are having efficiency problems right now, right? And they can't even get to what the root cause is because it was funny. I had one company, they were great. They characterized QM, and I thought this was a great analogy for the companies that had it under control. They said it was like Y2K, just for mortgages, though. That things were total chaos before. They made you totally fearful, and then, you know, the day after came, and you're
That's
like,
funny.
Well, nothing happened. I guess we're running okay. But then, you know, Andy, you were sharing a scenario of another company that, you know, closings are, their whole efficiency is just blown up. We have seen that. Efficiency and underwriting's dropped down, and companies haven't even had a chance to get to the root cause yet because they're just, like you said, trying to scramble to keep closings happening.
Well, I think it's interesting that Sam Garcia, I'm going to jump on that, Andy, right there in a minute, but Sam Garcia's statistics is production, net production income has declined 52%. It's one of the notes I made from what Sam was reporting on. I thought that was significant. Yet, the staffing is up. Production income, net incomes are down, and it really then goes to the whole servicing discussion, which I want to get into with you and Andy in just a second. Sorry, Andy, you started to say something.
Well, before we use all the time listening to Joe Allison, I want to hear your thoughts. What is it that when you're in an operation where you've got the leaning to have the tail wag the dog, have production drive everything, and the branch calls up and says, pay me more, give me better margins, or I'm going to quit, or my realtors are going to walk away, or what's the practical reality of the manager who has to make the decision to deal with that? What is it that they're supposed to do when they can either lose money on the transaction or lose the volume and lose the relationship? How long do you keep doing that? What are your thoughts?
Well, there's walking the walk and talking the talk. There's so many people that talk the talk, but when it comes to contracting markets such as we're in right now, walking the walk is really what's separating, I think, the companies that are going to survive from those that don't. When it comes to the production group, and I think this is universal across all companies to some degree or another, if the production unit that comes in that says, you're going to do this for me or I'm going to walk, you know what? My answer is let them walk. And they go, but that represents so much of my production. I panic at that. Well, this goes to the elasticity of cost. That goes right into your area. That's why it's a yin and yang between what you and I are always doing, Andy. And so I see a sad trend right now is people are capitulating to the demands of production. And when I'm saying, let that group go. Because if you hold on to them, you're going to do it. And Alice, how many times have you seen? It's the 20% that stir up all the problems for operation that cause 80% of the distractions. And so when people are willing to look at it, but in a truly holistic stance, yes, they hate to see any production group go, but it's usually the ones with the noisiest squeaking wheels that probably I need them off the vehicle. And I hate to say that, but it's time to – it's those kind of – are you going to walk the walk? Most people do a good job talking it, Andy, but when it comes to walking it out and really living up to what they say, that's not happening. And I could just say across the board that –
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that goes to the margin concept, right, that Andy's always talking about, right? You know your costs per loan and where your expenses are coming from, right, Andy? And you couldn't somebody be able to tell then which originators potentially are costing them the most money and finding the sweet spot
absolutely.
Then is what you're talking about, right, Dave?
Well, you know what? When I walk through these ops, it's so true what Andy's about to say, and I'm going to toss it to Andy because I want to get to there. Here's the deal. We get brought into the companies, and they say, do an operational review of my company, but let me give you a tour of my company. And they take me to their top producer because they're so proud to introduce me to their top producer. I almost without fail put a bullseye on the person. That top producer is not the best bottom line guy in the company. And I've had that come true not 100% of the time, but nearly, vastly the majority, 80%, 90% of the time. The person that you think is your top producer may, in fact, be a top line number, but we're not driving to the bottom line, and to which I toss it to Andy.
Exactly. Well, Dave, the way you know that is because you do have reports to show you the profitability per loan, the profitability per branch, and the profitability per originator. You can't run a business without having those kind of reporting mechanisms, the KPI reports we call them, the loan level profitability reports we keep talking about. You can't drive a car without lights, and you can't make it to the destination without a map. You've got to have your lights on, the map out, know where you're going, so you know when you get there. Otherwise, you're just guessing, and margins are too tight to leave things to randomness. We've got to have a plan. We've got to know our numbers.
So how do we do that? What's the best system that you're finding to do that? Does it take an expensive system? What does it really take for this to happen, Andy?
Well, we've got companies running QuickBooks that are able to get low-level profitability reports. It's a matter of having the discipline in the operation to let accounting have the information they need to track every fee associated with the loan revenue and every expense associated with the loan cost, including some allocation of hedging, which we can get into how that's done. And then you end up with top-line numbers, mid-line numbers with your cost and your bottom-line number in basis points on volume by loan, by branch, by originator. Then you can really know who's making you money, who's costing you money, and is it really worth it?
No question. Those are great points. We're out of time, folks. I would love to have this continue on. We're going to continue on with this discussion again next week. Send us your emails and contact information. We really just cracked the code. In fact, it's got to the introduction. We're going to dive into this again next week, diving into probably be several weeks where we continue to talk about some of the issues, because right now we're starting a new quarter. And I hate to say it, some of you, some of the companies that are out there, not our listeners, because they're the smart ones for plugging in, finding what needs to change. But more and more companies are really struggling with this. And so we're going to see companies fold up in the second quarter that do not need to. So tell your friends to tune into the broadcast. Be here next week as we continue this discussion. There's so much here. I have a list of questions I can't even get to. Have a great week, everybody. Look forward to seeing you back here next week.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.